Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
11 o'clock hour. I always laugh at this song because
I feel like you had to wait for the second part to come in. You know?
I know. I was like, well, because we ran this. Like, how long do I sit and wait?
I think you wait for the.
Normally we do, but then sometimes you and I just stare at each other awkwardly for 15 seconds. We're like, we're just waiting. Yeah. We're waiting. Everybody, we're just waiting. No, I was laughing because anytime I hear this, there was a friend of mine in college. Anytime we went to a bar, this was the song that he had to make sure they played at some point.
On the way, or
this was his song
at the bar. At the bar, yes, at the bar. It was like, what do we? That was the song.
Huh?
This was
that's
the
great.
Song, and so I always.
You were singing that guy. Are you still friends with him?
Taylor Williamson used to be in TV, produced for one of the affiliates, and I think he's out of TV now. He used to work in Dallas, so was a producer down there. But no, I haven't talked to him in years.
Anytime I hear that, I get I go to the whatever commercial it is. The we fixed this toilet.
Yep.
On video.
There was some news, though, as we mentioned, we were talking with Matt McMullen towards the end of that segment. In the NFL, a big-time contract was just handed out to one of the league's best wide receivers. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 24 years old of the Detroit Lions, just signed a four-year, $120 million deal, $77 million guaranteed. That, according to Ian Rappaport. He had a 1,500-yard season this past season with 10 touchdowns for Detroit, and this makes him the highest-paid wide receiver now in the NFL. If you're wondering where the wide receiver market looks like, so Tyreek Hill, of course, who's 30 years old, had a $120 million contract, $72 million guaranteed. Devontae Adams, he's 32. He signed at one point a $140 million contract with $65 million guaranteed. Cooper Kupp, who's 31, signed a $75 million contract, total value $80 million. So a massive, massive deal for a very talented wide receiver. And knowing that there's still a couple wide receivers that haven't been taken care of yet, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, to name a couple, that are going to get deals better by a few million than this on average per year. So this also right away reminds all of us in Kansas City when we're talking about positional value and where to draft. And you know,
why you might want a cheap wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. You got Rashee Rice last year in the second round. That's why you draft a couple this year, right? Isn't this why you draft two this year?
That's why you draft them every year. I mean, look, the reality is, and you could have one high-priced wide receiver. Teams wouldn't do this if you couldn't make it work under the cap, but if you have Mahomes, this is where, like, you don't have to full Aaron Rodgers it. You don't have to never take a first-round skill position player ever and just be like, you make it work, jerk. We don't care who you have. You make it work. It doesn't have to go that far. But I also think that sometimes, like when you take those guys, like you said, you take two wide receivers. If they're in the second and the third round, Alex, you and I are okay. If they get 4 years out of them, we're okay. We can get back into that in a minute, but that's part of the reason why. I also, boy, if I were one of those teams that still had a wide receiver left to pay, I would not like that number. Four for 120 and $77 million guaranteed. What the hell is Justin Jefferson going to get? or Jamar Chase, your guy, Drew, or I don't know. Is that the only two guys that are left to be paid at the moment? They're waiting for everyone else to get paid. So who's the next one? Chase get paid before Jefferson or the other way around?
I think Jefferson's closer. Yeah. So that I think is the next guy in line.
And he just asked to beat him by like $1 million in the guarantees or whatever.
Yeah, it's usually something like that, just so they can say they're the highest paid.
The way it's trending right now, wide receiver, I don't like. I kind of get why the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill. You know, sure. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah. The number is so roster prohibitive. There'd be no benefit in paying a single other wide receiver. Like, you can't pay Boyd, you can't pay Higgins, if you know, like, you can't pay anybody else on the roster. That's again why, like, just going back, I know this, the Bowers thing is an absolute massive long shot. But the reason why I would always, as a team, take more shots at tight end is still that. Half price. If you get it right, if you get Sam LaPorta, it's half price for an 1,100-yard wide receiver, essentially, right? It's not perfect, and there's only like five or six of them. It's harder to find.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Way harder to find your T.J. Hockenson, your Travis Kelce, your Sam LaPorta. Way harder to find your George Kittle. I get it. But it's why I keep taking shots at tight end is because if you get it right, half price. It's so much cheaper than elite level wide receiver.
I hear you, except it's you have to have a top five tight end in the league to get what a top 40 could probably get you. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
That's the weird, but now, yes, the cost.
No, the discount.
The discount is massive, and Amon-Ra deserves the contract. I mean, he's a hell of a player. It's just, this is why even for Detroit, I know they're in the NFC, so we don't focus on them as much in terms of, hey, what happens when they have to start paying? You know, they definitely don't have a quarterback on a rookie contract. Jared Goff's a little bit older. He's going to be due for an extension here soon. It could even happen this offseason. Amon-Ra's now making top wide receiver money. And they've got some other young pieces. You know, they're not paying Jahmyr Gibbs a lot of money, but they spent high-level draft capital on a running back. I'm just saying, at some point, that catches up to you. Aiden Hutchinson, great player, edge rusher. They had to pay him. But just, you're
starting to go up.
All of a sudden, it gets more challenging to build out the roster. It's why, for them, even Dan Campbell was honest about it. They lose in the NFC title game to the Niners last year. They should have won that game. And, you know, like, he even admitted, people didn't like the comment, but he's like, we don't know if we'll be back. This might have been our best chance. And it's the truth.
The Lions
aren't going to fall off a cliff, but also there's no guarantee the Lions are back in the NFC title game next year.
And to, not that they blew it, but to have that opportunity where they could have gotten to the Super Bowl, it's the hardest thing to get to in sports. You know, obviously what the Chiefs have done is very, very much so.
Their dynasty has only been a handful.
An anomaly, but to get to one, even forget winning, but to get to a Super Bowl is tough for everybody.
Yeah, it's not an anomaly for the Chiefs anymore. And by the way, being in the middle of the dynasty only hurts your odds. The fact that there's one team sucking up all the wins and all the Super Bowl appearances, like if you're an AFC team, that ain't making your life easier. Like if you're Joe Burrow and the Bengals a couple of years ago, that might have been. There's a shot that was Joe Burrow's only chance to win a Super Bowl. Yeah. That might be the only damn one he ever plays in. That's not a guarantee. He might still get it, but that might be his only chance.
Drew just put his head down.
I'm not trying to concern you, but it's the truth.
No, it is. It is the absolute truth. It is the complete truth. And I think that is the consensus in the AFC is until proven otherwise, which they haven't been proven otherwise. The AFC runs through the Chiefs every single. You have to. It is always going to be. Getting through the Chiefs in order to get there. It's never going to change unless an injury happens, and that's probably going to be that way all the way through Patrick Mahomes' career.
Yeah.
I mean, so Amon-Ra, man, 4 years, $120 million, $77 million guaranteed. We'll find out more of the actual specifics, but that's basically what you need to know is that it makes him the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL for a period of time until Jefferson, Jamar Chase, CD Lamb. Like, those are the three guys that are going to get massive paydays. Those are the guys they love it. I'm sure Justin Jefferson sent a text to Amon-Ra St. Brown saying, congrats, thank you very much also for
making
sure.
I'm going to go ahead and send this over to my agent real quick, but congrats, man.
Because that's the starting point. That's the starting point now.
Does CeeDee Lamb have one of the greatest all-time awkward draft moments of all time?
Oh, with his girlfriend?
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's an all-time draft moment,
he's got
right?
a couple phones. Yes. She grabs the phone, and he grabs the phone right back.
Right back.
So good. There's a bunch of awkward draft moments. There was a player. Gosh, who was it? I just saw the clip yesterday where his girlfriend's sitting next. Clearly, his girlfriend is sitting next to him and, like, you know, hugging him and all that. And the player's mom, like basically like pulls her out of the camera and waves. So like that she's like, hey, we don't want you, because hey,
I don't
just girlfriend. Like, do you want, you know, the mom's like, hey, I'm gonna be next to my son in this moment or
she
whatever.
She yanked her out of the way.
Yeah, who was that?
I can't remember who it was because they were at home. I remember that. It was an offensive lineman.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway. And then also, yeah, text lines that Russell Wilson. Yeah, that was, well, now in hindsight, it's even funnier because.
I don't remember that moment. That was.
Well, because he was with his.
Isaiah Wilson, by the way.
Okay, Isaiah Wilson. Yeah. But no, Russ one is funny because in hindsight, because we all know, like, he broke up with his. They were married, right? He got divorced, I guess. But at the time,
because
Sierra obviously wasn't sitting next to him when he was coming out of Wisconsin. When he was coming out of Wisconsin, Sierra wasn't
look,
next to him.
It's just a risk. I'll be honest. Like, I think some people worry, but like, it's just a risk you got to take. Gold, you get a girlfriend. You guys are dating for 6 months. Y'all go on the family vacation to like the Outer Banks, like Drew's family.
Yeah. That sounds
and
nice.
And she comes
by the
along,
way.
And you guys are going to take
Outer Banks.
You guys are going to take a little group photo because you all went to a place together. She just got to be in the photo. Look, I got photos with ex-girl. It's not that big a deal. It's fine. Like, it's not like, hey, what was that girl doing there? It's like, I was dating her. That's what she was doing here.
Or you cover,
we were together.
You going to the Outer Banks?
We
soon?
Go, we go every single year.
So you said, I don't even know it more because of the TV show.
Never seen it.
You've never seen the show?
Oh wow. God, that's the most big endorsement he's given for a show ever. What's it about?
I watched a few episodes. Clearly, Drew's probably watched all of them. I guess if you vacation there, you'd probably be into the show even more.
That was an in already, but it's
had three seasons of it on Netflix.
Yeah, they're going to have another one, which will be interesting because the plot's kind of ended. But
is it actually, you know, some shows...
The main character, his dad, he thought his dad had died. And there's a treasure that he believes there's like a treasure...
Okay.
And he's looking for it with some of his friends. There's the Pogues, there's the Cougs. It's basically the super rich people, ignorant people, and then the Pogues, which they're
Ozark?
Part of.
It's like Ozark?
Well, I was asking about the show. Is it actually filmed there? Because Ozark
No, it is filmed. Okay. It's filmed in Charleston, South Carolina.
Same thing, because the movie Ozark, the
show.
Aerial shots, I think, are, you know, not, or the aerial shots are the Ozarks, but the actual film is in Georgia or something.
It is not filmed in the Outer Banks. Gotcha. That would be very difficult to do.
Really?
I think, because there's not a consensus, I guess, living area in the Outer Banks as much as there is in Charleston, where a lot of it is timeshares and rentals, and it doesn't look like it.
Sure.
Yeah, it's not
People are saying it sounds a lot like National Treasure with Nick Cage, and I got to be honest, I agree. Good news is for you, Drew. I think the National Treasure movies are great. Are they high? Is it like watching an Academy Award-winning movie? No. Is it a travesty that they're never going to make a third one? Yes. Those movies are just blind entertainment.
Good.
Who doesn't like a National Treasure movie? It's such innocent entertainment.
I think you would like it. I mean, if you like the National Treasure movies, yes, I think you would. There's some plot twists in there. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll consider it. Could probably use a new show. I'm finishing up Curb Your Enthusiasm first. Then I'll.
Yeah, it just wrapped up, didn't it?
Yeah, and I was behind like a half a season. So I'm in the final season now, but I haven't.
Gotcha.
Okay. I haven't completed the final episode yet. So please, I guess, don't spoil it. It's fine. If you do, I'll still watch it.
Curb Your Enthusiasm is the Larry David, isn't it?
Yeah. I assume, that's a very popular show. I assume you guys also watched it at some point.
I have never seen one episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I've seen
a
couple episodes. I am years behind, though. Like, I'm multiple seasons behind. But
well, they're like 12 of them, so it's going to take you a minute to get caught up.
Yeah, it'll take all summer to do that. We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 5 minutes or so. We were going to talk more about the AFC West before the Amon-Ra St. Brown news came out that he has that new extension with the Detroit Lions. But the Broncos sit at 12. The Raiders are at 13, and then inside the top five, you have the Chargers sitting at pick five. And that pick seems to be one where everybody's questioning it could be for sale. Could the Chargers back out, or is that the Joe Alt pick? Honestly, everybody else in the division, I guess the Chiefs could too, but everybody else in the division, there's a real case to be made that they could be involved in a trade. Like, a lot of people
think
the Broncos could trade up for a quarterback. The Raiders could trade up for a quarterback. The Chargers could trade back. Like, because the Vikings want to go up to five. I mean, that the AFC West, there could be a lot of the trades could involve AFC West teams tomorrow night.
The way I look at this right now is these teams, I hope they screw it up, because I think these teams would be better served to all trade down because they all don't need one player. They need a crew of talent, specifically the Chargers. I know as tempting as it is to just be like, Joe Alt, we're good. Or Malik Nabers, we're good. And just take a guy who they know has an elite level talent for them. The problem is they were a 5-win team with one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL last year. And I know he's hurt, but the year before that, they were a 7-win team. They need an accrual of talent. Like, or maybe 8 wins. I don't remember.
Remember they blew the playoff lead to the Jets.
Oh, I'm sorry. They actually went. That's the.
And they had the epic playoff failure.
I'm thinking the year before that. Yeah, they actually did win like 10 or 11 games that year. Yeah, the following year. Absolutely blew it. But when you look at like what the Chargers need to do, they need more than one player. They need a lot of players. My guess is that they trade out. The Broncos trade up and the Raiders stay where they are. Like, if you made me guess right now, I think the Chargers trade out of 5. I think there are multiple teams who want quarterbacks. And I've even seen mock drafts that say maybe the Bears, instead of staying at 9, trade up and like get the guy they want at wide receiver at 5, rather than wait around to see if Odunze or Nabers are going to be there at 9. They just go up 4 spots for minimum value shift and do it. I think because the Chargers need wide receiver, but they also need offensive line. They need guys like, they need offensive line help. They need defensive line help. They need corner help. The two defensive linemen they kept this previous year and Bosa and Khalil Mack are still really, they only reworked their deals to buy themselves a season. They need more than one player. I still think the Broncos are trading up. Sean Payton didn't take that job just to fire Russell Wilson after a year and then go in and start Zach Wilson for a year.
That'd be
did
great.
He?
I wish. Did I hope so. That'd be incredible. Look, I think at 5, as much as Joe Alt makes sense, this is where tomorrow night at the draft party, remember, you can fill out your draft form and wherever you think Joe Alt's going to go, you could still think he's going to the Chargers and they could still trade back a spot or two. But this is where I think one of the teams is trading up getting quarterback. This is, to me, the Vikings either trading up for McCarthy. This is the Raiders trading up for Michael Penix Jr. I know it's an interdivision trade, but I don't think it matters here in this circumstance.
Now, if they're taking a quarterback, you don't care.
So this, to me, will be the spot where I think it's moved. And maybe the Chargers still get Joe Alt because they only move back a handful of spots.
Titans are the problem at 7 for them.
Right. And do they think that that's worth the risk? But 5, I think, might be the first trade of the draft. Like, the Bears aren't trading at 1.
No.
I think the Commanders are staying put and taking Jane Daniels or May, and I think it's Daniels. I do think the Patriots
have
been
interesting.
I don't
think anyone's going to meet their asking price.
And then the Cardinals are tricky at 4, but I think ultimately they're all in on Kyler Murray, and I do think they're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. So to me, 5 might be the first spot a trade comes into play, and that's how we get our fourth quarterback off the board. Whoever you believe that's going to be, Penix or J.J. McCarthy, that to me is what's happening at 5. But you're right, the Broncos, and are they really going to just run into the season with Zach Wilson, which would be hilarious? I don't buy it. Unless they stay pat at 12, Cody, and they think, oh, we'll just take Bo Nix at 12, which is higher than a lot of people think he would go.
I mean, I think he's going in the second.
Yeah, I tend to think Bo will go in the second. I wonder if who is better fit for Michael Penix. I mean, is it Denver?
Denver is a perfect fit. Michael Penix Jr. is the ideal quarterback
for Sean Payton.
For Sean Payton.
Okay.
I think that they are a perfect fit for
each other. Yeah, no, and I like Michael Penix. The concern with him is the injury stuff, right? Injury history, a couple reconstructed knees.
Sure.
So yeah, that's the concern. That's why he's not being discussed as one of the first two quarterbacks off the board.
Also, it happens to be he's in the draft class where there's a lot of super, like in normal drafts, Penix probably does go top 10. He still might, but he probably, he definitely does. Mm-hmm. He's like the second quarterback off the board most years.
If it weren't for Jaden Daniels having the year that he had, Penix is, yeah. It is the third guy.
The truth is Jaden Daniels is the number one overall pick, probably like 5 of the last 6 drafts. And Drake May is probably the second guy off the board, 5 of the last 6 drafts. But Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels are in this draft, so he's the third guy off the board, or what else? Someone might talk themselves into J.J. McCarthy instead. You never know.
The report, Herm Edwards doing an interview yesterday.
Herm?
Yeah, Herm Edwards.
Fresh off of his 5-year show cost suspension from Arizona State.
He's back at ESPN, isn't he? I think, or...
This was on BetQL. He was on one of the Odyssey BetQL shows, and he was talking about Jaden Daniels, because he coached him at Arizona State, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And Jaden Daniels, before going to LSU, was recruited by Herm Edwards and coached by Herm Edwards. And there's ties with Antonio Pierce, who's now the Raiders, with Arizona State, with Jaden Daniels. The problem is it looks like the Commanders are going to take him. But if Jaden Daniels somehow isn't the number 2 pick, let's say that...
And he's the heavy favorite to be so.
Yeah, right, and let's say the Commanders just went through the smokescreen and they draft Drake May. I don't think it'll be J.J. McCarthy, but let's say they draft Drake May. Then at 3, it's the Patriots. If there was a team desperate enough, because they reportedly, according to Herm Edwards, love Jaden Daniels, the Raiders at three for Jaden Daniels. Well, that requires Daniels not getting picked by the Commanders, which I don't think is going to happen. But if Daniels doesn't go two, all of a sudden, could the Raiders pull off the huge trade and go all the way up to number three and get Jaden Daniels?
I don't remember if it was Diana Rossini who said this exactly, but she said the Patriots are fielding calls. I think that there was another, I don't know if it was Diana or somebody else.
They're asking for the moon.
But also the Patriots, if Drake May, they want Drake May.
Yeah, and if he's not there.
If he's not there, then they might want out.
And if Jaden Daniels, therefore, would be on the board, is that where the Raiders all of a sudden say, you know what, we're doing it. We love this guy. Antonio Pierce wants him, and they go up and
they
get
give
him.
The Patriots
that could
haul.
Be fun. And the Patriots need a haul, right? Because they got all kinds of issues.
We talk about rosters that need a lot of help everywhere.
Who is there?
Jacoby Brissett right now is a quarterback.
I mean, look, part of me thinks that for certain teams, I think it makes sense to do this. You build the team before you get you build the team before you get the quarterback. So when you get the quarterback, there's enough foundation in place for you to make the most out of those 5 years that you have him. I don't know if Houston is a good example of that. But they had a solid team built around. It just happened to work out where maybe New England, they get a wide receiver at 12 if they're there, or they figure out a way to build up the roster where when they get a quarterback next year or whenever they deal with it.
Yeah. Someone says, why does Gold put so much emphasis on Jaden Daniels? That's because of Jaylen.
That was an incident.
It's a couple reasons. There's because Jaylen Daniels plays at Kansas, and there was a time, I don't know, a year ago maybe?
We played back a clip where it sounded like you called him Jaden Daniels, Kansas.
Called the Kansas quarterback Jaden, and so now we differentiate the two. Jaylen Daniels and Jaden Daniels. That's why. That's the story there.
I think it would be interesting to see if Minnesota is the team left out in this, I don't know if the Vikings would want to trade up. I mean, the Vikings seem like the fit to trade up to five
And get Penix.
But if the Raiders are desperate enough for a quarterback or the Broncos are desperate enough, do they jump Minnesota and take a quarterback? And then Minnesota's screwed in that case, you know?
That's why the Chargers, I think, are in a really good spot at five, because I think there's three teams, maybe three, that could try to actually get up to five because of the scenario you played out, the worry that, hey, okay, if you're the Broncos and you're the Raiders, I guess you're 13, you're worrying, okay, we can't just sit at 13. There's a team like the Broncos and the Vikings that both want a quarterback. The Vikings already traded up to get the pick that they own right now. To me, they don't trade up and be positioned where they're at without trying to trade up again.
I think in best case scenario for the Chiefs, I guess, would be Minnesota trades up at five with the Chargers. The Chargers end up getting, I don't know.
They swapped the first, so they move back to
11. Maybe they get Roma Dunze. Otherwise, they just have to settle on somebody else. The Charger or the Raiders get a tackle, and then the Broncos get a corner. They get better, but that doesn't scare you if you're the Kansas City Chiefs at all, I don't think, in terms of the divisional race.
No, but it's still smart because you got to allow them. The more talent they acquire, the more likely they are to get it right.
Coming up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll also mix in the trash of the day. But the reason the Chiefs need multiple wide receivers in the draft, the trend that shows us just how likely it is you're going to hit on one next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Chiefs Kingdom. This is Mitch Holtis, and welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour on Cody and Gold. Every day at 11:30 on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Thank you, Mitch. Chiefs Red Half Hour. And tomorrow night, we'll be talking all things Chiefs, hanging out at the Landing in Liberty. Bink and Chris, the Character Concerns crew, will be doing their show throughout the entire night. We'll be there from 6 to who knows how late, waiting for the Chiefs to make their selection at number 32. Maybe they trade up as well. And if you think you know how the draft is going, if you think you know where Jaden Daniels is going, for example, we were just discussing, go ahead and write that on the form, 610sports.com, including the team. You get multiple points. And,
I'm predicting the Washington Commanders for that one.
Spoiler, that's what I'll mark down as well, even though it'd be fun if he falls, because then I think everything can, all hell can break loose. But I do think he'll go too. And you can win $610 plus some Chiefs merch. There was an autographed Nick Bolton helmet I saw is up for grabs. So join us tomorrow night at the Landing in Liberty.
Drew, did Bree get back to you on my offer to let you guys stay in the basement? What's her vibe on that?
Boy.
I didn't even talk to her last night, actually, about it. I texted her, and she never responded to it. She never really responded directly to that. To that question. So I would assume probably not.
That's her polite way of ignoring it.
Just ignoring? She could just say, no, it's all right. We'll figure it out. I mean, I'm not going to be offended.
She might have been...
Busy?
Busy. God bless her. She is very stressed out with this whole situation.
But yeah, I understand.
With that,
yeah.
And then she's very stressed out. We handle things a little bit differently. I used to be that way, but now I'm gotten a lot better at handling stressful situations, so...
You handle it differently? We all handle it differently.
Of course. Yeah, we all handle it differently.
I mean, I literally 2 months on the show, admitted to having panic attacks. I don't think you need to apologize because Bree's a little stressed.
No, absolutely not. So, absolutely not.
We all handle things a little bit different, as you had previously said.
But yeah, sorry if we do not accept your offer. But I won't. Thank you for offering, though.
It doesn't sound like she's turned it down. There's just been no response.
She hasn't. Well, and given our situation of... The way that renting goes now, it might be a little bit longer than we'd like it to be before getting into a place.
Yeah, we'll figure. You know what? Offer's open. No pressure on the timeline.
Thank you.
The wide receiver position in the NFL draft has become interesting, not just because there's way more stars. Like, I mean, look at this year's draft. I'm convinced Xavier Leggett, who might be the 8th wide receiver taken in this draft, would normally, he'd be the, like, oops, snuck into the top 10 because someone fell in love with his size and speed. Ted Ginn Jr., Henry, whatever. He'd be that version of a wide receiver a couple of years ago because it's so deep. The highest he'll probably go is like 7, maybe 6 if like someone just fell in love. I am convinced, not just because, and we'll talk about the success rate. I am convinced that wide receivers are going to come and go off of teams way more often than they ever have in the NFL. Because I no longer think anyone in the NFL is going to consistently pay the guy between 900 and 1,100 yards. I'm essentially talking about the Rashee Rice level of player. So there's still ceiling in Rashee that could be obtained. But most people, because of what he was scouted and believed to be before, think that what you got out of Rashee Rice last year is you got max value.
Right.
Maybe he's a 1,000-yard guy. I think the reason why the Chiefs have to keep drafting wide receivers is because you eventually do want to get your Amon-Ra St. Brown, the guy you're willing to give $120 million to because they're a 13-14 Tyreek Hill 1,700-yard wide receiver at some point, and you're more prepared to handle it. I just don't think they're going to do it that way. But as you pointed out, Schefter's draft success of giving them a second contract suggests almost no wide receivers get it.
Yeah, and I also think, though, where the market eventually goes, if we're going to have this continual crop of deep wide receiver draft classes and more talent coming into the league at a greater rate than we had in prior drafts, it's not even just that teams will choose to maybe let someone walk. That's not the star, but also the market's just not going to be as good. So I know they're just not, they're going to let them walk, but also Cody, there's a chance the middle of the wide receiver value is going to go down. Like not the Jeffersons and Amon-Ra St. Browns, Jamar Chases, that market, that top tier market will still exist. But if we're saying that teams are willing to let the 900 yard guy go, well, then you're going to have a surplus on the market of those type of players, and therefore the value should go down even though the salary cap is going up. The salary cap going up is going to end up only impacting the star wide receivers more than it will the middle of the road guy. And so while I agree with you that teams may not go the path of signing the 900-yard guy, I don't know if that'll fully happen. If the market isn't as high, well, then it won't be as big of a deal financially to retain those guys either. So it'll be interesting to see how
like
it goes.
Maybe because there's so many talented wide receivers, maybe the second guy Maybe. Doesn't cost. I always think free agency, someone will pay him. So like the price tags, I don't feel like ever go down. Let's just say Rashee Rice is a free agent 3 years from now. Someone will pay him 25 or 30. Like I just as long as they're healthy. Now that maybe it's not true because Hollywood Brown got essentially nothing, but the best year out of Hollywood Brown is definitely better than Rashee Rice's best year so far. But there's a lot of other like failure in there. Does that make sense? Like T. Higgins is really going to be the interesting case study. When he's a free agent, this will be the true test, honestly. When T. Higgins is a free agent, what will he get? He has pretty solidly been the exact wide receiver I just described to you. 900 to 1,000 yards. He's always been second fiddle to Jamar Chase, but he has been a consistently good, available wide receiver every single year he's been in the NFL. He had a rough start last year, but for the most part, he has been wildly consistent. When he gets in the open market, maybe tells me something. Because at first I thought, boy, is the market crashing because Juju Smith-Schuster got nothing. Then I looked at Calvin Ridley's contract this year, and it didn't seem like he got nothing.
Yeah, I wonder if it's more of a long-term thing, you know, over the next couple of years where we have four straight or so draft classes where it's deep. And then with that said, then it's going to take 3 or 4 years of them being in the league before they hit free agency anyway. So I think it's a couple years away to find out the full answer of if what I'm speculating about and you're speculating about actually happens, but it's definitely interesting. And then, yeah, Adam Schefter put out basically the last 20 drafts or drafts from 2000 to 2019. So this cuts off who was able to get second year contracts by position that was drafted in the first round in the hit rate. Only 27% of wide receivers out of, so 77 were drafted, 21 got a second contract that were drafted in the first round. Think about that. Only 27%. The highest, by the way, is centers. 12 centers, only one missed between 2000 and 2019. If you drafted a center in the first round over the last 20 years, that guy got a second contract. You found someone that's going to be your franchise center. Offensive tackle, 59% of the time. 64 were drafted. 38 got a second contract after being a first round pick.
Centers, by the way, 11 for 12. You draft a center in the first round, you sure as hell give him a second contract, don't you? That's another reason to think that Creed Humphrey in the second round is going to get it, by the way.
Cornerback, 38%. Tight end, 33%. The positions we've discussed for the Chiefs are offensive tackle in the first round. Okay, 59%. Corner, 38%. Defensive edge rusher, 44% of the time it hits. Defensive tackle, 40%, and then we mentioned wide receiver, 27%. So if you're just, hey, what's your best chance to get a tackle that you're going to give a second contract to? It's offensive tackle, but here's the thing. Not at 32, probably. Not at 32.
And the reason I think more of them get second contracts, the same reason more quarterbacks get second contracts, scarcity. Scarcity goes back to the wide receiver thing. The reason why less of them get second contracts, Gold, is not because they all stink. It's because they're not worthy of the second contract based on what is available to you outside of the market. It is hard to find a tackle. That's why they all go super high in the draft, Gold. They're not available at 32 like we just talked about. So a lot of teams give them a second contract. Why? Because the available options at tackle are thin. Look at the Chiefs situation this year. Right now, as it sits, they're starting Wanye Morris, a third-round pick from a year ago, and Jawan Taylor, a player they had to pick up in free agency for an exorbitant amount of money at right tackle. Those are their current options at tackle. They would also like to improve it, like a million other teams. I think some of these second contracts, it doesn't tell the whole story because you're just more likely to get them due to availability. Center, I think, like for instance, that's the highest rate. It's like 93%. That's just because you spent a premium pick on center. You better sure damn get it right if their center is going in the first round. It's like one a year over 20 years, right? Or one every other year for 20 years. When a center goes in the first round, man, they're a lock. They're not screwing up the job. They're going to get another job.
Well, and it's not much of a surprise that in that as well, I mean, 12, you know, the total is 12 centers. The total for tight end is 24. The total for guard is 28. Like those guys already aren't
it's
even
one a year pretty
those
much
guys,
over that
you have to be, even to be considered to be a first round.
You got
to
be good.
You got to be, you know, an elite level talent.
People take way more risk at wide receiver, man.
Way too much. That and corner. Those are the two biggest discrepancies, I guess.
Corner's only going to get worse now that every team wide receiver is great.
All right, we're going to look at an ESPN NFL Nation reporter mock. So each ESPN reporter that covers each team, Adam Teicher for the Kansas City Chiefs in this case, it will be making the Chiefs pick. And there are trades in this, but the Chiefs end up standing pat Adam Teicher has A.D. Mitchell going 32nd. It is interesting, though, the way that the draft plays out for him. In his description, he says, I was prepared to go with a cornerback, Ennis Rake Straw, junior of Missouri, but when the board fell this way, with Mitchell still available, it was an easy switch. So I wonder, it all goes back to that conversation, I think, again, of how the board plays out for the Chiefs. If they have a gun to their head and the board plays out at 32, maybe you lose out on wide receiver and offensive tackle and you just take the best player available, or you trade out in that case.
I'm calling it. 100%, the Chiefs are not drafting a corner at 32. It's not happening. They're trying way too hard to convince everyone they're taking a corner at 32. They're not doing it. This is just a lie. They've talked some people into it. They've definitely convinced some people they might take corner at 32. It's not happening. 0% chance they take a corner at 32. It's just not happening. Like I can't understand why every single person seems to go this way. They spent one premium pick on corner in 7 years of Brett Veach being a drafter for this team, or 6 years of him being a drafter for this team. It was the one time they traded up for Trent McDuffie.
Right.
Like, look, at 20, maybe they're taking a... They're not doing it at 32. They're doing it later in the draft or what else. I think they're taking wide receiver, tackle, maybe defensive line, but I don't think it's corner.
I think
it's corner.
I would be surprised if they drafted corner as well. The only thing I could think of is that, Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams, and what they have there, and they both had really good rookie seasons last year. One of them, Watson dealt with the torn labrum, I think it was.
Yeah.
And we didn't know it. He still played most of the season. Is if, you know what, maybe they're, we'll find out how, are they concerned about one of them stepping up and being the number two corner for the entire season? That would be the only thing that they've been kind of quiet. You're saying they're making it seem like they want to take one, but also I would argue, I still think it's been a little quiet there. That would be the only circumstance. They take one at 32 and it actually tells us that they weren't confident that one of those guys can step in.
Sure.
And be the number two corner. I still think it's less likely than wide receiver. It's less likely than tackle. I would even say in that scenario, trade back. If another team's willing to trade with you, get out of the first round. If another team wants to come back in, I can get that corner in the second round. If that's the case,
just for AFC West reference. And then there's an interesting tidbit at 23. I'll get to that. The Vikings trade up to 5.
Okay, and get a quarterback.
To get J.J. McCarthy. So that puts it as AFC West, AFC West, AFC West, and Chargers, Broncos, Raiders. The Chargers, they have taking J.C. Latham, the tackle from Alabama at 11. The Broncos taking Dallas Turner, the edge rusher at 12. Raiders taking Tyleese Fuaga from Oregon State at 13. The reason why I say 23 is interesting is because they have the Chargers in that trade taking Brian Thomas Jr. at 23.
Wow, falls at 23.
Now, obviously, the Chiefs wouldn't, or the Chargers, wouldn't trade with the Chiefs in order for them to get Brian Thomas Jr. But if he's available at 22 and you're the Eagles and you're the Chiefs, is Brian Thomas worth 10 spots trading up to get?
I think the answer is yes. I just don't think he's there at 22 or 23.
I agree. I don't think he's there either.
I mean, if you're the Chargers and you can trade all the way back and still get Brian Thomas at 23, that's a great draft.
Yes. That's a home run for them.
I don't know if that's realistic, but that's a hell of a draft if that's the case.
But again, because Brian Thomas Jr., at least in, I haven't seen other than this one, I don't think he's gotten past the Bengals at 18 or 19,
No, I was going to say, it's him or Johnny Newton, where like from the defensive line, where I'm like, I'm praying they're the fallers. Like, oh, I hope everyone falls out of love of Brian Thomas. Mm. Probably won't happen. But there is going to be one guy. You and I both know. There's one player who has consistently been mocked in the top 20 that ain't going.
Of course.
I don't know which that guy
happens
is.
Happens every year.
For me, it's Johnny Newton, I hope, or Brian Thomas. Because Brian Thomas, it's easy. He is clearly in the second set of wide receivers behind the three guys we know are going in the top 15. Adunze and Neighbors, and realistically probably the top 10, and Marvin Harrison Jr. are all going in the top half of that draft. Because of how many good wide receivers, I'm guessing it's kind of a mess after that. We all think it's Brian Thomas, but he's clearly in that second grouping, which means somebody else might think something completely different about
him. This goes back to our conversation with Nate yesterday about, you know, is Brock Bowers the name of the guy that actually falls the most? You know, he could go as high as 8. Could he fall all the way back to 20? You know, there's been some mock drafts that have him fall into the 20s. And that could be the name of the guy just because it's a tight end that ends up falling as well.
To give you the measurables, by the way, of Brian Thomas. So he is Dan Brugler. So official numbers, 6'2" and 7". So you can round up to 6'3". 6'3", 210 pounds, ran a 4.340, which is the fastest of any of the top four guys.
Ridiculous.
He's faster than Malik. He's faster than Adunze. I mean, he's, and he was with neighbors as well and still put up over 1,100 yards and had the most touchdowns in college football. So, I mean, he's almost in that first tier. Like, he's right there.
There's too many examples of it going both ways, so you can't really say one way or the other. Because, like, a lot of times you'd be like, well, it should be easy to be open if you're Brian Thomas Jr. if Malik Nabers is doing the other side. But then I go back to, like, that Joe Burrow-led LSU team, and I'm like, turns out they were just all great except Clyde. Clyde was fine, and everyone else on that team was just like a superstar, all playing together on one roster. Same thing with it's just hard to know.
Same thing with the Washington stuff. Rome was great. How good really is Jalen Polk? Is it because Roman Dunsey was getting all of the attention, or is Jalen Polk still have a lot of potential because he was number two? And then maybe the same thing with Texas as well as Xavier Worthy and Edie Mitchell as well. It's interesting that dynamic in terms of evaluating wide receivers.
We've been talking about the draft for months now, and it's finally here tomorrow night. Woo, I can't wait.
Thank God.
And we hope to see you at the landing. The more I think about the scenarios and stuff, and this is why pick 32 is tougher than any, just because so many other teams dictate what you're actually able to do. But as much as I've mentioned tackle, and I'm like, hey, that's what I want them to do, and I think they actually want to tackle, but recognizing that they might have to trade up to get them, if they can't get that, I'm now more and more on board with, you know what, screw it. Just take a wide receiver in the first and the second round and just be done with it.
That sounds I like that. That sounds fun.
It does sound like a good idea.
Sounds fun.
I want them to take a tackle.
And just get one right, and then we don't care which one.
But also, you know, the tackle is a need in an area I want them to address. I just don't know how realistic that is if you buy this stuff out this morning from multiple national reporters, which is that all five phone calls that I think Tom Pelissero said he made today.
Daniel Jeremiah,
and he's like, yeah, they all think they got to trade up to go get a top-tier tackle. Now, maybe that's smokescreen stuff, but if it isn't, then I don't know how the Chiefs are getting that guy being at 32 unless they move up in a big way. And so if that's the case, then are you better off just saying screw it and just take the wide receiver and just go wide? Because I don't think you're getting a good tackle in round two. So just go wide receiver, third
call
round.
Call Donovan Smith then, on Saturday.
And then receiver, wide receiver. Then go ahead and take your defensive line or cornerback in the third round. Yeah, sign a veteran Donovan Smith type on next week, and there you go.
It's funny because, like, if you take Troy Franklin in the first, and let's just say you took A.D. Mitchell in the first, and you took Troy Franklin in the second. If A.D. Mitchell busts, but Troy Franklin is at 1,100, I don't care. Like, ask the 49ers if they care that they took Trey Lance third. I'm sure they wish that they could go, but because they successfully picked Brock Purdy, it gets to wash away.
Yeah, Franklin scares the heck out of me, I'll be honest.
He
scares me a little bit just because
he's not the
big complaint that everybody has had recently with the wide receiver room. And it's just a player they haven't had recently, which is the inability to track the football in the air and go specifically on, you know, those deep routes. And we know Franklin's got the deep route in the speed, excuse me, for deep routes, but it's kind of adventurous at times to find the ball. And that scares me a little bit. Now, if you suddenly are taking him in a late second round, maybe it's not as big of a deal, but first round, I don't think you can take him in the first round.
There is a guy so I don't know if he's going to be available in the second round for the Chiefs or if they just go in a completely different direction because they think they take wide receiver first and won't do it again, is Ricky Pearsall from Florida. His stats weren't great in college, but if you look at who was throwing him the football, Anthony Richardson was fine in college. More potential, obviously, in the NFL for what he could do. Last year at Graham Mertz, he was okay, but in terms of big play capability, Keon Coleman-like guy, Ricky Pearsall is a go-and-get-it type of wide receiver.
And it's always laughed, though, because, like, if you go back through and you look at, like, draft analysis for some of these guys, like, there was some idiot scout I remember that, like, Papa would be like, DeAndre Hopkins can't catch. And you're like, okay. I mean, we all know that that's the antithesis of what it is. So, like, it's so hard with college players like that, because you're not wrong. But Franklin, was it that he couldn't track the deep ball, or was the guy just, like, throwing it where it wasn't supposed to? You know what I'm saying? Like,
no,
just do more work.
I mean, Bo Nix was his quarterback.
He was
right?
The most accurate quarterback in college football, period, last year. He was the most accurate quarterback.
You really like Bo Nix, don't you?
I'm
Let's
just
get
telling
to the
you.
Bottom no, of
here's,
this.
You would think
he
that,
is
I'm
the second
you.
Oldest quarterback ever in the draft next to Brandon Weeden since that time period. So in the last 20 years,
he's not Brandon
two
Weeden,
of the oldest quarterbacks to come out of the draft or in this draft. They are Pinnix and Bo Nix.
Yeah,
since
it's true.
Brandon Weeden.
It is true. You would think I would like Troy Franklin in the second round is not as problematic as the first. His comp from Lance Zierlein, NFL.com, is a guy that I liked a couple years ago. Chris Olave.
Oh.
So you'd think that because he's got that, but also what's the biggest weakness that Lance Zierlein lists?
Can't catch.
Ball tracking inconsistencies will pop up at times.
What
really good at that now.
I haven't looked it
ball
up.
Ball tracking inconsistencies.
Can you look at Ricky Pearsall and what his mock is?
Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, two alls. Tez Walker would be another good pick in the second round, maybe third. He might slide back to there, but Ricky Pearsall is consensus second.
Let's see. It's loading. This is from Lance Erline. He does a good job with the comps. They're just fun to. Yeah. I shouldn't say I don't know if he does a good job with them. They're fun to talk about. Now, I haven't gone back and checked to see how accurate they are, I'll be honest. Alex Erickson.
That's
his comp.
Who?
I don't know who that is.
I'm not messing around.
Shout out University of Wisconsin.
That's why you know who he is. I have no
idea.
Who the hell is Alex Erickson?
Did he play in the league?
Look, I bet you I'm going to pull up his numbers and they're going to be better than we thought, but I'll be honest, I've never heard of that person in my life.
Alex Erickson.
Played at Wisconsin, played for the Bengals for a little bit. Now he's been with the Chargers.
Sinks hips low to snap. Doesn't have the suddenness to slip pat. Modest catch radius. That's for Ricky Pearsall.
He's still in the league.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it. He played for the Chargers last year. I've never even heard of this person.
There's the first photo of him in a Cincinnati Bengals uniform. That's the only reason why you know his name.
He's 31 years old. He has 1,300 career receiving yards.
So the only thing that is a knock for Ricky Pearsall.
How the hell has he been in the league 8 years?
I don't know.
His RAS, again, not that it matters. His RAS is 9.78, which ranks 70th all time in terms of RAS scores with wide receivers.
That seems pretty bad for a modern day athlete.
Relative athlete
should be higher on there.
So I think Ricky Pearsall's a good option. It's just that I think in terms of production at Florida doesn't give him. If he had better production in college, I think he would be a lot higher on the list.
I can't wait to actually see which wide receivers they actually draft so we can stop guessing at which ones it actually is.
Right.
Whew. One day away. We're almost there, man. What are we, like 31 hours away or whatever from the draft?
Yeah. I think we get through rounds 1, 2, and 3, and then we get a good idea because not that you can't break down wide receivers in the fifth round, but if they take a wide receiver in the second, say they take a tackle and then take a wide receiver in the second, we get a good idea for, okay, this guy's going to get some playing time, you know?
Depending on where they take him, for sure.
All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending, and we'll get back into the Royals, who got back on track last night. It was specifically how they got back on track is the most promising thing. That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.